What is up, everybody? Welcome in and thank you for listening to the second episode of All My Friends Have Plans. We got a good show coming up for you today. I interviewed my old friend, Patrick Earhart. He's not old. Our friendship is old. He's not my old friend, but the friendship is old. He's the same age as me, basically. But, you know, yeah, whatever. We interview him. He is a podcaster. He's a musician. He's the greatest bassist of all time. And that's a scientific, provable fact. And it's been proven, actually. I don't have the studies in front of me right now, but it's definitely true. So you're going to want to hear from him later on in the episode. It actually is a pretty long interview today. So I'm going to try to keep this first segment nice and short and sweet and to the point. I had something happen recently in my life, and it has to do with dating, and it's a real bummer, and that's really all I'm going to say about it. But it got me thinking about my life and, you know, just my life in dating and whatnot. And the other day I was driving into work and I thought about this story and I literally started laughing at myself. And it made me feel a little bit better, because this story that I'm about to tell you right now made me feel worse than the bad thing that just happened to me. So in a way, I guess it kind of put it in perspective for me that, you know, even though things could be better, they're not as bad as this. This was 7 years ago. Me and my high school sweetheart had just broken up. Well, not had just broken up, maybe like a few months, probably like 3 months before. Right. So it was still pretty fresh, and I was pretty upset because, you know, you're in high school with your high school sweetheart and everybody thinks they're going to get married to that person, you know, and it just happened to last a few years after high school. So then it started to seem a little bit more serious, you know what I mean? Like going on after high school made it seem like it was more real than some of our friends' relationships that were obviously just high school, like puppy love and whatever. That's what we thought, but we were kids at the time. And I'm at the DMV and I see this beautiful girl just sitting there. And she's doing homework or something. She's like reading a textbook and taking notes or whatever. And so I'm like, well, she's obviously busy, right? So I don't want to go over there and talk to her. So I'm just going to leave her alone. I'm just going to let her do her thing. And I'm just going to stand here and wait for my number to get called, right? Wrong, actually. That's not what I was going to do, because the guy that worked there at the DMV saw me standing up against the wall. And he literally, like, it seemed very rude at the time, but I feel like he may have been doing me a favor, because he may have seen me notice the girl and also noticed that the only open chair was right next to her, but he yelled at me to sit down. And I felt like offended by that at the time, but I was like, all right, I mean, I didn't know that was a rule at the DMV. I didn't know I had to sit down at all times unless I'm at the counter, but I guess that's the way it is, right? So I go to sit down and I just made some little comment to her and she responded. Right. And I was like, oh, that's what's up. I introduced myself. I said, hey, I'm Alex. She said, I'm Kayla. Shook her hand. Nice to meet you. Yada, yada, yada. You know, as they say, the conversation was going well, you know, it was going real well. And then I had to go up, they called my number. So I had to go up to the counter. So I'm like, Kayla, I will be right back. Okay. I'll talk to you in just a few minutes. I went up and did the thing. Whatever I did, and when I come back, she gets called, like, immediately. So I was like, oh, all right, Kayla, well, you know, I'm not going to stick around here, so I guess I'll just see you later. And she was like, yeah, okay, I guess so. And I was like, bye. And guess what I didn't do that whole time that we were there, though? I didn't give her my phone number. So, hey, I guess I won't see you later is what I should have said, because that's accurate. And guess what? I haven't seen her since, obviously, because, like I said, didn't get her number, didn't give her my number. And it's so embarrassing, because that's literally like step one. You know what I mean? And it took me a second to realize that I didn't give her my number, right? I walked away thinking like, yeah, that's what's up. Kayla, she's going to call me. Wait a minute. No, she's not. Because she can't. So Kayla, haven't heard from you yet. Been looking forward to it. If you're hearing this by some miracle, and you know, if you are, make sure you share it on Facebook and give a 5-star review wherever you can. I greatly appreciate that. Kayla, I know you can do that for me. We've always been able to count on each other. So, you know, I feel really good about that happening. So I appreciate that, Kayla. And also everybody else do that too for me, actually, if you guys could. Even if your name's not Kayla, or even if it is, but you're not the same Kayla from the DMV from 7 years ago, please just share this link. I'm going to put it everywhere on all my social media. So wherever you see it, just go ahead and repost it. That's all you got to do. just repost my episode, and I will be eternally grateful. Actually, that's not all I'm going to ask you to do, though, because I am also going to ask you to stick around. We're going to take a break right now. I know it's really early in the show. It's like not even been 6 minutes yet, but I'm going to take a break right now, and then we are going to come back with, I already mentioned it once before, I'll say it again, he's the greatest bass player of all time. He's also a front man for that band, and he has a couple podcasts, and he says he's relatively funny. I think he's a little bit more than that. You be the judge of that. Stick around and find out. We're going to be back with Patrick Erhard right after this. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Today on the show is my old friend Patrick Erhard. He is the greatest bass player of all time and was also in the greatest band of all time. We're going to talk more about that. He also has an excellent podcast or two, and we're just going to talk about a lot of stuff. So Patrick, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks for correctly addressing me as the GOAT.
You're very welcome. I made that mistake one time of not recognizing you as the GOAT. I believe it was on Twitch.
Yeah.
you came on my stream and you were talking, and I was like, oh, who's this guy? Baseball 25. He's the GOAT. What is that? And then sure enough, turns out that it was truly the GOAT. I was honored to have you there, and I'm honored to have you here, man.
Oh, well, thank you. And hey, you played great that night, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I was playing Rocket League, I believe. And Me and my friends are, I mean, I'm not going to toot my own horn or anything, but we're pretty good. We're in the gold. We're ranked as gold players. So, you know, it's not a big deal or anything, but it kind of is a big deal too. But
that's not what
the show's about, though. It's not about me. It's about you, man. So let's talk about you a little bit. So as I said in the intro, you are a bassist. Mm-hmm. You started playing at the early age of 13 years old. You also play some other instruments too. You're like kind of a musical dynamo at this point, right? What exactly do you play?
So I started off on bass because my I was living out in Massachusetts, and my dad took me into a music store, and he was like, look, you're at this point in your life, you need to get a damn instrument and learn how to play.
Yep. Sounds like your dad. Shout out to your dad, by the way.
Yeah, my dad's an awesome drummer too, so that's a lot where it came from.
Right.
So I was like, all right, well, I guess no one I know plays bass. I've never heard of people liking bass players, so I'm just going to do that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, you certainly have done that. So you started out with bass, and then you moved into some other instruments too. You're also a front man too, right? I mean, like, what exactly are your musical talents? What can I see you on stage doing?
I play bass for a couple different bands. I will sometimes do like acoustic stuff. There's a band I'm starting up right now where I'm just being the front man.
Okay.
I'm not an amazing singer, but I'm good at being a good front man, being energetic and stuff like that.
Sure.
Which honestly, it's rock and roll. You don't need to be an amazing singer. So it works out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say that you're a bad singer or anything, but certainly the energy and the stage presence, I think, kind of outweighs the importance of the actual vocal talent when it comes to, like, you know, punk and rock and stuff. And by the way, how would you define your genre, or would you define your genre? Because I'm always a little bit confused. I'm not really that much of a musical guy myself, you know, so I have a hard time distinguishing between genres and, you know, what does this mean? What does that mean? So what do you play? I mean, I've heard punk, I've heard folk punk, I've heard rock. What would you say?
Yeah. Well, also, you know, not knowing all those genres is fair, because there's so goddamn many, like, I don't even know all of them. It's stupid. Is it okay if I curse on this?
Yeah, absolutely. You can say whatever the fuck you want, my man.
Oh shit, yeah.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I started off playing folk punk when folk punk was big. I started off playing ska punk in high school, and then
right
after, you know, everybody in high school's in a ska band. So after that, when I realized, not to shit on ska, I still like ska, but I'm like, I'm too old for this shit.
I got genres like that too, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Artists and whatnot.
Yeah. And so I went into folk punk, and then it was fine for a while. I don't really care about it. Like I go back and listen to those bands, and there's like one or two that hold up still.
Yeah.
And then the band I started after that was Ash Williams. And
the greatest.
Yeah, buddy. And we did like a mix of like punk and metal. That's basically this. It was like punk and like black metal, thrash metal type stuff.
Right.
And right now the bands I'm in, I'm doing like kind of like a hardcore metal type band that I'm going to be singing for, and a pop punk band I'm going to be playing bass for.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I was just going to ask about that, because you said you started a band that you were just being the front man for. And so how does that work during this quarantine? Because obviously you can't go out there and perform. Can you even record with your band, or can you write? I mean, how does music get made when social distancing and shelter in place is still in effect, or does it?
It sucks, dude.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, that's why I'm doing this podcast, is a solo venture, so that I don't have to do anything with anybody, you know? So
yeah.
I really can't imagine what the creative process is like when you can't get together.
Dude, legit, like both of the bands that I was starting up, this all we started just before quarantine.
Yeah, of course.
And then all this happened, so now we're just like stuck. Like I'll write. Sometimes I'll send if I think of a good riff or something for the heavier band, I'll just record it real quick and send it to them. But like, we can't really do a ton. So it's right. More just us throwing ideas back and forth for the time being, but kind of shit out of luck for doing anything else right now.
Did you guys ever have a plan on, you know, when to come out? And has that, I mean, I assume it's been pushed back, but do you have any kind of like idea of when we can expect anything from you guys, or is it just up in the air right now?
So the pop punk band I'm in.
And also, do these bands have names?
Yeah. Well, one of them does. The pop punk one is called Slow Draw.
Okay.
There's like legit nothing on Facebook, nothing. There's no promotional stuff even out yet.
Okay. So we can't find you or anything like that, but.
Not yet.
But we can look out for you in the future.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a split that was supposed to come out pretty soon, but it might still be coming out. But you know, that'll be the first music that gets released.
Right.
So I don't know when it will come out, but you know. And the other band, we just couldn't really do anything, because the pop punk band is this other guy's project, Todd. He's in this band called Scarecrow.
Oh, shout out to Todd.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm gonna shout out everybody that you mentioned, by the way.
All right.
So far I'm 2 for 2, I think. So
yeah. So Todd wrote all this stuff himself. So this is kind of his baby project. So okay. It's easier to just bang stuff out. But
sure.
This other one, it's basically me and some friends just starting from scratch, so we didn't really get anything done.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, obviously that's already hard enough, I think, on its own. You know, when because I've been in a few different projects and stuff like that, and when one person has the idea, I feel like it goes a lot smoother than when it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 people. We all know we want to work with each other. We all know that we like the same type of stuff. And like, for me, it was always comedy or writing. Right. Yeah. And like, we know we like the same type of shows, but we all have to come together and work on this. And that's already hard enough when it's not a global pandemic. So man, I really can only just just imagine the struggle right now, and especially with music too, because like I said, music, I feel like music is, it's not for me to make, for one, and I really feel like it's the hardest form of art to nail down. And maybe that's just because I have more comedic or dramatic sensibilities, mm-hmm. but man, it is so like to take, I'm going to break down what music is for everybody right here, to take sounds and present them in a melodic way.
Nice.
Like that, like when you hear the individual beat or riff or whatever, it's like, oh yeah, that's cool. But then all together, it's like, wow, this is a masterpiece. And I feel it in my skin and in my blood and in my bones. And it's just so, if you can do that, and I've heard you do it multiple times, it's a tough thing to do. Musicians are a different breed, is essentially what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, art as a whole is different for everyone. Like I have the good musical brain, and luckily I have some awesome musicians around me to work with all that. But right. like, if I had to do any type of visual art, I can't like draw or paint or sculpt or anything to save my life.
I'm very bad at that stuff too.
I'm so bad. Like yeah. Luckily I'm good at music and relatively funny. So I just play music and do podcasts.
relatively funny, man. That's what I've been going for my whole life. And I feel like I'm reaching that level right now too. So I'm glad to hear you say that. It makes me feel a little bit better about my trajectory. Let me ask you this. This is about touring and stuff, because I've never done anything like that. The only times I've ever been on stage is in school productions. Mm-hmm. You know, for plays and improv shows and stuff like that. And I love that. I mean, I love performing to a crowd. It makes you feel very good. But what about touring? I mean, what's it like being on the road, and how do you live like that? Did you have a bus when you were on tour, or what did you guys do? Because I don't really know a lot of touring musicians. I don't really get a chance to ask a lot of these questions.
We had a van. Our buddy Will Castro, shout out to Will.
Shout out Will.
he's in a band called Western Settings, and like they toured like nonstop. Like they have to stop now because of quarantine. But
right.
Whenever Western Settings wasn't on tour, he rents his van out. So we would just take the van when we could. Yeah, dude, it's crazy. My goal for music is always pushed back a little bit, or changes, because I keep like accomplishing little goals, because I don't like set, like I'm not like get famous,
you know, right?
Little things. So like when I graduated high school, I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to tour. So I guess my goal is to tour, and then I toured a bunch of times, and I was like, okay, well I'm playing different countries, and I got to play in Canada and Mexico, and
damn, and that's three countries right there, including this one.
Yeah, that's the three biggest ones in North America.
that is an indisputable fact, and I challenge anybody to come up with something different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the way that the van was built, he actually built, like, we called it the perch. It's a little bed that would stand above the back area where you would keep your gear. So you could go up there. We would take shifts going up there and sleeping, or hanging out up there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was and at first, the first tour we did, legit, we had put out an EP called Danzig. That was about,
I remember, it was about breakfast.
Yeah, it was a Misfit songs, and we changed the lyrics to be about breakfast foods.
Yeah and, amazing concept, by the way. I don't think I ever gave you the props that you deserved on that one, but man, I fucking love that idea, and the execution was flawless. So another home run.
Yeah, that was surprising how big that got. We got on like Food Network and stuff like that, and it was ridiculous. We were like on podcasts out in like Italy and Germany, and I'm like,
holy shit.
I don't know what's being said, but
well, you know, so I think what it is that obviously the Misfits are a huge band, and then Breakfast too. Breakfast is beloved around the world.
Yeah.
You know, so you mix those two things together, and
yeah. It's delightful.
Italian kiss. Yeah. It was a chef. I did the hand thing, but I forgot this is not a video podcast, so nobody saw me do it, but wow, I did it. My hand is open right now. It's far away from my face. Anyway, continue. I kind of cut you off there.
No, you're good. So we did this, we did that, and it got weirdly popular. And then we went on tour because we were putting out another EP, but we didn't get it out in time. So we were like, fuck it, we're just going to go on the road.
Right.
So we went out, and people only had heard that, apparently. So there were places like that. The most painful one was we played like I grew up in the Bay Area with you, duh. But right.
You've been around though.
Yeah, I went to high school up in way up Northern California, like in Wairika. Yep. So I would legit to play shows.
Shout out to Wairika.
You don't got to do that. Yeah, that place can go fuck itself.
Shout out rescinded, Wairika. Fuck you.
Unless one of my goals is I want to be on the Wairika Wikipedia page as a notable person. If I can get on there, then I will take back all the bad stuff I said about Wairika.
and as will I, because I feel like you deserve to be up there. It's a travesty that you're not there already.
I agree. So we were playing in Medford, Oregon, which is like where I like kind of honed my live playing skills, because like in high school that was the closest place to do shows.
Right.
And we were billed as a Misfits cover band.
Oh boy.
And I was like, oh great, a hometown show where everybody just wants us to play Misfits songs. And I was like, we don't even do that. Like we literally
never covered a Misfits song. Just Weird Album a little bit.
Yep. That's right.
Okay, well shit. I mean that's gotta be tough, man, for a young band like that to be totally misbilled. And like you said, so close to home.
Yeah, it was rough. But I mean, a lot of people came out because they were like, oh, I love the Misfits. And I'm like, okay, get ready to hear maybe one Misfits cover song about breakfast food.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like, I don't remember Danzig singing about waffles all that much, but I mean, I guess he did. I never listened to the Misfits that much, but Ash Williams sure seems to think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Well, touring, that seems like a very uncomfortable life.
It can be.
Wrong about that?
It can be. I'm like me and the drummer in the band, Uriel, we are kind of road dogs. So we are good at just driving for long periods of time. Right. I can sleep in a car pretty easy, but the other two people in the band, Scout and Michael, they are very, they need their beauty sleep every night.
Gotcha.
So
can't say I don't relate to that.
Yeah. So there would be like disagreements as to where to sleep and stuff like that, or if we want to keep driving, where Uriel and I will be like, oh, we can just drive through the night, and they're like, no, I need to stop somewhere and go to sleep. I was like, go sleep in the back seat. No, the back seat sucks.
Yeah.
But luckily we got a lot of friends that are able to crash at their houses and stuff like that.
Right.
We stayed at a haunted hotel in Portland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that. Was it really haunted?
It was creepy for sure. I didn't see any ghosts, although I wish I had. Yeah. Ghosts are one of those things.
Haunted hotel.
Yeah, ghosts are one of those things I wish were real, and I want them to be real so bad. I just, haven't
maybe
seen
someday.
Anything.
Yeah. Maybe someday. When science catches up to our wants and wishes, maybe someday we'll get ghosts. But yeah, as of right now, I've never seen one either. I saw some papers move by themselves one time, but papers very light, so it could have been wind or something. I'm not really sure exactly what happened there. Plus, it was on camera. I wasn't even there. Maybe it was a string attached to the paper. I'm really not sure. I got to ask my buddy about this. It was on a GameStop security camera. So we'll have some more info on that on the next episode for sure. I will follow up on that. And
thanks. I'm ready to hear it.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure, as is the audience, everybody who's still here listening to this right now is on pins and needles wondering whether this ghost moved the paper or if it was just the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm voting ghost myself because it moved and then it moved back. But whatever, I'll post the video on social media too. So we'll see. You guys can see what I'm talking about for sure if my buddy has it.
Ooh, spooky.
It is spooky, yeah, and I promise you. And also, it's on a security camera, so the picture's not that great, so it's even a little more spooky. It's like, it looks cursed.
Heck yeah.
So it's very cool, and I'm excited to bring you guys that. But enough about that. I want to switch gears here a little bit. I want to ask you about podcasts. That's what I'm on right now. Mm-hmm. I have two of those myself. It seems like it's a thing that a lot of people are getting into, especially now during the quarantine. You know, shout out to the quarantine for forcing me to put this out. And, you know, but you're on two of them right now. I think I want to talk about cartoon, because there's two podcasts. There's Cartooned, and then there's Bohemian Grove Tiki Lounge. I've never heard that one, right? But I want to talk about Cartooned a little bit, because I'm a big fan of cartoons, and I'm a big fan of just the show in general. So what's it about? Like, what if I'm listening to Cartooned, what am I going to hear?
So yeah, Cartooned is me and my friend Scout. Her and I go through cartoons, and every episode is based off of a different cartoon. We usually have a guest, let them pick. We just started back up because, you know, Scout and I were like, we want to do it, but we don't want to edit because we're lazy assholes. Ooh, so
speak, man, preach to the damn choir.
And our buddy Hunter was like, oh, I'll come on and do it. So Hunter's the third co-host now, but also he's like the producer, editor, all that stuff.
Very nice. Yeah, very cool. Shout out to Hunter and Scout. Shout out to Scout too. And we actually mentioned her too. She was in Ash Williams, right?
Yeah. She was the lead guitar player in Ash Williams.
Yeah. Damn it, I forgot to shout out to Scout. Damn it, I forgot to shout out Michael and Uriel too. Shout out to everybody that Pat's mentioned so far. I think that covers it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. All right, cool. Right on. It's about a different cartoon, and you guys, it's not like a watch along though, right? It's like you guys will watch. Do you watch the whole season or the whole series of a cartoon before you go into an episode?
So what we do is we let guests pick the cartoon, and then we'll either let them pick an episode, or if there's an episode we particularly like a lot, we'll do that. Or if it's a random ass cartoon or we just don't care, we'll take some D20s and just roll them which season and to get which episode. So
right. Makes sense. You know what? That's a good a system as any, to be honest with you. And yeah, I really like it because I don't really watch a ton of cartoons anymore these days, but I'm very familiar, obviously, with cartoons and animation and stuff. And I'll hear episodes of this about shows that I've never heard of.
Yeah, and I'm doing episodes about shows I've never heard of. So
yeah, and I think that's great because it's a good way to, you know, maybe I'll find something that not a lot of people like, but that I love. You know, or maybe your show will spark a revolution with a show, or maybe it's a cult classic that people forgot about or something like that. It's just always interesting to hear about stuff that not a lot of people are talking about, because I'm not sure, but I don't think there's a lot of shows that are really based on animation like this. And I think it's an awesome thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully it's weird. Like, when I actually can like track all the downloads and stuff like that, and like we have like 40,000 downloads, which is insane.
That is insane. I can only dream of 1,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know where all these people are coming from, but it's nice. I like it.
Yeah, sure. Not gonna complain.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like I said, I luckily am a little bit funny, so, and especially during this quarantine, it gives all of us podcasters a means to kind of hone our skills a little bit, I guess.
For sure. Yeah.
And also forces all of us to be better at technology, which I guess is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. It seems like, and this, hear me out on this, I'm going out on a limb, but it seems like technology is going to be a big part of the future.
I don't know.
That's just, I don't have any data to back that up or anything. It just feels right in my heart. So I said it.
You know what? You're bold and you're brave, and I'm proud of you for saying that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. The kind words from Pat Earhart. So how did the cartoon start? Who came up with the idea, and how did you guys decide you wanted to do it?
I came up with the idea where I was just basically like, I want to do a podcast. I think this was like 2015. We were very spotty with it because we'll do like a streak of it, and then we'll just like, we have episodes banked that just haven't come out. But
yeah, that's how Triple Coverage was for a while too. That's my sports show. Mm-hmm. We came up with a few episodes once and then stopped and then did it again and then stopped. And now we're back for good.
Yeah. That's kind of what we did too.
Yeah. It's a process. Was it just you and Scout back then?
Our original producer was this guy named Ted.
Okay.
And
shout out to Ted.
Yeah.
Just got it in there under the wire.
And we would just do different guests and have Ted produce. That was the first like 4 or 5 episodes. And then Scout was just like, yeah, I'll just do it. So me and Scout did it, or I just did it for a while. Then Scout did it for a while. And then we were like, we're just like, we still had ideas for episodes, but we just didn't want to like actually go through and edit and all that stuff. So we're like, yeah, we'll just kind of. We've like every week we'll text each other like, okay, when do we want to do this again? So now we're actually doing it. So, cause Hunter will do that.
Right. Producer. It's an important job.
Yeah.
And it's important to have somebody that wants to keep you on schedule too, because you can have a group of people that really want to put something out, but they don't want to commit to the process that it takes to do that. So you definitely need somebody there that's going to keep you guys on track.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with me and Scout. You've listened to it. Scout and I go on tangents for long periods of time.
I mean, that's podcasting, baby.
Yeah, we just won't even talk about the cartoon. We'll just be stupid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nice having Hunter to be like, hey, so about the cartoon.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah. It started because I was like, I want to do a podcast. What do I know a lot about that might be interesting? It's like, oh, well, I know a shit ton about cartoons. Like, I still watch cartoons, love cartoons. And I was like, okay, well, I guess we'll just do it about that. And Scout came on because Scout's one of my best friends. And also, Scout likes anime. And that's the point of contention on the show, is I don't really give a shit about anime.
Yeah, me neither. I've tried to, but I just can't.
Yeah, like I'll watch like classic episodes of like Dragon Ball and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, yeah. When I was a kid, I loved it. So I have a little bit of nostalgia, but I just like don't care.
Yeah. It's weird too, because like, you know, I mean, anime itself is really just the kind of the style of the show, but it has to be exceptionally good, I feel like, in order to draw me in. And whereas a more traditional cartoon type animated show, I will give it a lot more leeway than an anime. Like an anime really has to hook me and make me want to watch the next episode, or else I'm only going to watch one. But I'll sit there and watch Duncanville for a couple hours, and I mean Duncanville is fine, but I don't know that it's as good as a lot of the animes that I'm just not on my radar. But it's just I'm more familiar, I guess, with the format of it, I guess. Or I'm actually very curious to know why I have that blind spot. But
yeah, because I've got it too. I think it's weird because like I guess it's a point of, especially in the dubs, where the overacting is like kind of, I don't know, I'm just not into it. It's just like it goes so over the top that I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Which is ridiculous when I watch cartoons about two angry beavers.
And but loved still. It.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite cartoons ever.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, how could it not be?
Yeah, that show. I went back and watched that show, and it's still great. Some of them, they don't hold up super well. Oh. And we discussed that. But it's always great when, like, Angry Beavers or, like, Hey Arnold, stuff like that all holds up.
Yeah. So what is your favorite cartoon that you've done an episode about? If you can choose. I mean, I know they're all your babies, or they're all other people's babies that you adopted for an hour or so, but
that's not even the issue. The issue is I don't remember all the ones we've done.
Okay, well, there's that too. Let me ask you this. Has the show ever opened your eyes to a cartoon that you have discovered that you love?
I don't think so. Oh, actually, yeah. I initially had not seen Clone High, and that show is great.
If I'm being completely honest with you, that was the answer that I kind of expected, because I remember that episode. I remember you saying that on the show. And so I was hoping you would say that one. Yeah. I like that too, by the way. I watched it after I heard the episode and I enjoyed it. And that's kind of what I meant by I love that about your show, you know, is because, yeah, I found a show that I like for sure. And I think that other people will too. And it might not be Clone High. That's only one season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It got canceled after that.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, I liked it, but obviously everybody didn't. And other people are going to like stuff that I didn't like or didn't check out or whatever. It's just a real cool show. And I highly recommend that podcast to everybody listening right now. I did also want to ask you about the Bohemian Grove Tiki Lounge too. What's up with that? I'm not familiar with that at all. I'm a poor researcher and I didn't do that. So what's the deal with that?
I'm actually going back and watching through Seinfeld right now. So there you go.
Great show. Fantastic show.
It holds up. Yeah, surprisingly.
Everybody that, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people disagreeing with me right now. You're all wrong. And I will not apologize and I will not concede.
Yeah. A lot of the 90s stuff does not hold up as well as you'd hope it would. Friends is kind of terrible now if you try going back and watching it. Yeah, I remember I watched it when it was on air. I watched it and I remember like liking it, but me and my wife tried going back and watching it and oof, it was bad.
There's definitely some jokes in there that you can laugh at. And there's some references that, you know, are funny. I mean, Pivot is never funny. but I feel like every time I'm carrying a couch, I think it.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, obviously it's ingrained itself into the world.
Our culture.
Yeah. But it's just, whatever. This isn't the Shit on Friends podcast either. Although we can sell a podcast if you want to do that. We can do that.
I'm down.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll email you after this, but yeah, Bohemian Grove Tiki Lounge. We went on a Seinfeld tangent and forgot that I even asked you that question. What is the deal with that? And that's why we did it. And what's the deal? Okay, go.
So Michael, who's the rhythm guitar player in Ashley Williams, he had the idea to start a podcast about, because him and I like to research and talk about and listen to conspiracy theories.
Okay.
We don't, it's not that we believe them. It's just, we like learning about them because the world is crazy and people are stupid. And here's just a fun fact. I can sum up every conspiracy theory in like one sentence, and it's that the Jews did it. And I just want everybody to know the Jews didn't do it. You guys are just anti-Semitic and assholes.
Yeah, right. And like, I feel like that should be a given, right? Like when every conspiracy theory comes back to like Zionism and Jews trying to run the world, it kind of, everything can't have to do with that. Okay. Like global warming and COVID-19 and the elections and just everything that happens, it cannot all be related to the Zionist uprising that is apparently, I mean, it's obviously super inefficient if they're still trying to do it. It's been hundreds, if not thousands of years that this has been happening, supposedly.
Yeah. It's been thousands of years. All of practicing, everybody who practices Judaism has had a kind of a rough go at it for the, you know, entirety of humanity. So,
You know what? That's a good point, actually. Yeah, I didn't really think about that before I said what I just said. But yeah, you're absolutely right. They've been... another hot take coming up. Jews have been persecuted throughout human history.
Oh my God.
Amazing. Amazing that we come to this conclusion. We're changing the world here on All My Friends Have Plans.
But yeah, so yeah, that's what it is. We just discuss conspiracy theories.
That's cool. Actually sounds very interesting. I'm definitely going to check that one out too.
Yeah, we only have a couple episodes out because it was also Ricky from Western Settings. He's their singer. He was also one of the co-hosts, but we would record it at his house and we can't now.
Ah.
So I'll talk to them and see if we can get it going. Cause that was a lot of fun. Like I like that a lot.
That sounds like a lot of fun. That's a real good premise for a show too. Because there's so much that you can talk about with conspiracy theories. I mean, there's just when something's already not really grounded in fact, you can take a lot of liberties with your analysis of it and stuff. And you can get really, really creative. And I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So what was it? The episodes we have out right now are on, You know, like Bohemian Grove, of course, we had to start with that one. We did the Denver airport, and I don't even remember.
God, the Denver airport, dude.
Yeah,
I
spent a day in the Denver airport, and that place is wild.
Yeah.
They like lean in so hard, all the conspiracy theories that like,
that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. It's great.
Love that. I saw Jesse Ventura did an episode about the Denver airport of his old show.
Yeah. That was, one of the, my research points for that episode was Jesse Ventura. It was a 2-part episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Jesse Ventura. He's crazy.
Oh yeah. Jesse, the mind, body, and spirit Ventura.
Yeah. We would joke about that. You know, because when you're on tour, you get these inside jokes, and I would just be Jesse Ventura. We would do impressions of Jesse Ventura and Hulk Hogan talking to each other on stage. And nobody thinks it's funny except us.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to ask you to do it on the show because it's probably true for my audience too. But if you want to stay on after the interview and do a little bit for me privately, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, the best story I have of us doing something like that on stage is we were playing Sacramento. And we surprisingly had a huge crowd, and we were sound checking, and I would do like random Alex Jones impressions.
Okay.
And I just yelled out
voice to Jesse.
Yeah, there they are. Jesse Ventura is just like if Alex Jones like smoked weed.
Right. That's a perfect explanation.
Yeah, and so I yelled out that the. Oh, I forgot where it was. I just went on like a tangent as Alex Jones, and the entire crowd, because we hadn't started yet either, was just completely silent. And there was one guy in the very back who was the merch guy for the opening band who just goes, ha. And that was it.
Man, you know, don't you just love that feeling when you kill it? When you're on stage and the whole crowd is laughing when you want them to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the best. And also the only thing better than that is when it's one solitary guy in the all the way back of the crowd. He's being supportive, which is great.
Yeah.
Seems like he could have maybe threw in a few more ha's if he wanted to really support you guys though. But
yeah, the banter gets better once the show starts.
I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one thing I had to get good at banter early on because for some reason, because I'm a dumbass, when I moved to San Diego for college, I just decided that I wasn't going to play bass anymore. I was going to play acoustic guitar and do shows like that. And I was fucking terrible at it.
It's an interesting move for the greatest bassist of all time, but go on.
I know. I legit had a bass player quit, Ash Williams, early on because he didn't. I was playing guitar at first, and then he heard me play bass, and he was like, I don't know why the fuck I'm here, and he just left. But I got good at banter on stage because I was terrible at guitar and hadn't really found how I wanted to sing yet. So I had to be funny to get people to come in.
Right. You definitely had to do, you had to have something that they wanted to see. And if it wasn't your instrument or your voice, it's gonna be your jokes.
I remember we got to play at the Che Cafe for the first time, which is like this big venue down here, like it's like this legendary little venue in La Jolla.
Shout out to the Che.
Yeah,
and never been I was there, but...
yeah, it's a cool little spot. And I played there and I thought I had a pretty good show. Then afterwards I went and the people at the venue were like, oh yeah, I really like your banter. And I'm like, okay, how about the music? Yeah. Oh, your banter's awesome.
Because that's what we work on for hours in my garage, sweating our asses off, trying to get the right sound. We're trying to get the timing of the jokes right.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, I'm sitting, it's not like it's all just like on the spot, just me making fun of the other person in the band. No, that's not it.
No, of course. No, this is the act. The music is just, let's jam a little bit and then let's get to the next joke.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I'm very familiar with live music. That's how it works for sure. Patrick, we're coming to the end of this interview. Before we go, I want to ask you this. You didn't have time to prepare for this at all, but do you have any advice for my listeners right now? It's a kind of a tough time, in the world. And, you know, obviously we're all going through stuff additionally, like on top of COVID-19 and whatnot. What kind of advice do you have for the people?
First off, stay the fuck at home.
That's a good one. That's a good one right now. Yeah.
Stop going out places because, you know, people are dying. A lot of people are dying.
Yes, they are.
And this is still the early stages, and over a million people have died already. So
that's what's crazy about this.
Yeah.
In the first episode, I said that we weren't going to talk about COVID-19, but we are talking about it right now. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next minute or so. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely insane to me that people are bringing up the Spanish flu and Hong Kong flu and Asia flu and stuff as if to say, well, the Hong Kong flu didn't have any social distancing and quarantine. And, you know, 100,000 people died in America. Yeah. Oh, 100,000 people died in the USA. First of all, let's not have that happen again. Right. I mean, ideally, if we can choose 100,000 people dying or not, I probably would rather go with not. But also, we're already close to that, and we've had the shelter in place, and we're already up to like 90,000.
Yeah,
in this country alone.
Yeah, and it's crazy because we hit 1,000. What was it, like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
and now we're at 90,000, and people are like, "Oh, it's not that big a deal." It's like, yeah, it's
absolutely
it's a pretty big
insane.
Deal.
It's absolutely insane just how much these numbers are just growing by chunk, day by day. You're seeing these rapid increases. And you know, not to get on the soapbox or anything, but I don't think that half of the country has to die in order for us to do something about this.
Yeah. So that's the thing is people ask, because I'm really, I got a degree in economics and all that. And I do talk a lot about politics and things like that.
Yeah.
But here's people want to know my opinion on the economy always. It was when I graduated, it was the most asked questions by people over the age of 50 was, how do we fix the economy? I'm like, yeah, I just got my degree. I know how to fix it. Fuck you.
Yeah, right.
There's people who've been working on it for studying for their entire lives, but I know how to fix it now.
Right. Well, those people are corrupt.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They're all Jewish, so. So here's a basic economics lesson for everybody who might not have a degree but wants to know the effects of the flu on, or not the flu, the COVID-19 on the economy.
Everybody get your pens and papers out, people.
Yeah, it's going to be real quick. If you don't have people contributing to the economy because they're dead, it doesn't help anything. The temporary boost you're going to have from people going out, like opening everything up, is not going to outweigh the long run. This isn't even from a moral standpoint, because obviously letting a bunch of people die is messed up morally. But from an economic standpoint, you're going to lose so much money long run. Like, just stay at home, talk to your representatives, get them to keep sending out the stimulus checks, because if, you know, they have the money, we can do it. Like, we're spending trillions of dollars on bailouts of banks and things like that after they told us to pull us up by our bootstraps. Anyway.
Yeah, well, right. And yeah, again, so this is not a political podcast, but I just do have to say that when you give the banks $1 trillion for a 15-minute spike on the graph of the stock market, mm-hmm. and then turn around and blame the shutdown for people's businesses closing, I think that there's a real, I think there's a real problem there, you know, because the representative is supposed to represent the people. And I understand the importance of the stock market. Okay. I'm not saying that we can just let that tank and let all, you know, consumer confidence just absolutely fall off the map. Of course we can't do that, but this is people's livelihoods. You know, like, people have worked hard to come up with these small businesses, and those people are the ones that are really being hit by this the hardest, because they can't run their business. The stimulus that they got was peanuts compared to.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of those small businesses didn't even get didn't even qualify for the loans, which was messed up, where they were giving, you know, the huge businesses, basically all of them qualified and got a crap ton of money, but these small business loans that they were doing, it was like, what, like 50% of them or something like that didn't even receive them.
Yeah. And that's insane. And so clearly there has to be a way that we can both stay healthy and maintain our quality of life for when this is over.
Yeah. And this, I know it's not political, but this isn't really like, I feel like every smart person on the left and the right that I've talked to has been in agreement on this. And this is like all the conspiracy theories going out about it are dumb people on both sides.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this isn't like taking a stand against Trump or anything like that. Like, I, you know, of course I don't like Trump, but
sure,
that's not the issue. I mean, it is a issue, but it's not the issue we're talking about right now. Like,
right,
I feel like this should be an across the aisle thing. Like, we should all like try to help each other out. Like, it's still humanity, you know?
Exactly. It's still humanity. And I really believe, I mean, if the future goes on forever, we're going to eventually find aliens, and then eventually we're all going to be Earth.
Hell yeah.
Right. So it's, I mean, I figure, why not just skip to that now?
Yeah, exactly. So other advice I have to people, is pick a hobby, learn a new instrument, play video games, you know, do something to have fun that you can do the pastime. I know a lot of people were like, oh, I've always wanted to learn how to play guitar. Now's a great time to do it. YouTube,
yeah,
tutorials,
absolutely,
are great. It's, you know, we have the technology where you can just sit at home and learn how to do it. The last thing I want to say is that people need to not feel bad if they aren't contributing to the workforce right now. Mm. You need to, like, I understand that, like, we've been taught that our whole lives, that you need to be a contributing member of society.
Yep, that's the,
but yeah, but right now we're locked in, so it's okay to sit at home and play video games all day for a little while. Okay. Like,
well, thanks for saying that. It makes me feel better about my daily life.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, you can do something constructive, but you don't have to do something constructive. Like, if you are feeling stressed out for a day, just relax. Like, you don't have to be learning constantly. You know, we're all going through a crisis right now, so remember to take some time to just do what makes you happy, from the confines of your home, of course. But yeah, and that's it.
Pat, you nailed it as always. Absolutely defending your title as the GOAT. It's been about 50 minutes. It seems like it's just flown by. Thanks for coming on, man. I always love talking to you. I appreciate you doing this. We're got to have you back on in the future for sure.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Glad to do it. Pat is on Instagram at patnstuff. That's P-A-T-N stuff. You can look him up on anything else just through his name. It's Patrick Erhard. Check out his music. I know that Ash Williams is now, you know, defunct, but
yeah,
I highly recommend checking them out if you are into any kind of like heavier music at all. The metal punk vibes from that band are great.
And we're on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple Music,
all the platforms. Check
whatever
them out.
You want.
Check them out. Cartooned is also on, what's it on? Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Spotify. We just got on
Spotify,
which is pretty cool.
Yep. Hit up Spotify.
We're on, you know, I try to get us on as much as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Bohemian Grove Tiki Lounge is on. I'm not sure what it's on because I've never listened to it, but I assume.
I think it's just on SoundCloud for now.
Oh, okay. SoundCloud. So check them out on SoundCloud there. It's the Bohemian Grove Tiki Lounge. And yeah, man, that was Patrick Erhard. Thanks again, Pat. I appreciate it so much. And we will talk again sometime, maybe even off mic.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Right on, dude. Well, that's going to do it for the show this week, everybody. Thanks for checking out this episode. Remember to like, subscribe, follow, whatever the platform that you're listening on allows you to do. Make sure to do that. If you can leave a review, please go ahead and give me 5 stars or thumbs up or whatever the thing is. And I'll see you guys here next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.